How many of you are Mission Impossible people? You've seen them, okay? My wife and I are all in on Mission Impossible. This is how in we are. Not only have we seen them all, but the last one is coming up. So we watch them all again in preparation for this movie, which I have not seen. Have you seen it? You saw the last one? The most current one? Okay, I haven't seen it. I'm going on Tuesday, so don't blow it for me. But we are all in. All in. So, as a Mission Impossible person, I've got a couple notices. They've made 8 of these Mission Impossibles, and I think maybe we need to, who is gauging the difficulty of these missions? 8 Mission Impossibles? I mean, maybe at this point they should be called Mission Highly Unlikely. Or Mission, this one's going to be a toughie. I've noticed too that Ethan Hunt, who is Tom, he's the Tom Cruise guy, all right? Ethan Hunt. And I have we live very different lives. His Mission Impossibles are much different than my Mission Impossibles. In the Mission Impossible movies, which I think they should binge watch, right? For sure. It's a great movie series. We'll actually start at about 4, because the first 3 are a little garbagey. But if you start at 4, you're going to love it. This is what he's faced. He's had to avert a nuclear disaster. He's had to recover AI source code from a sunken Russian submarine. He's had to infiltrate the CIA. He's had to recover a dangerous bioweapon. And maybe this is the biggest one. Tom Cruise has had to pretend to be a tough guy at 5'7", about 120. My life is very different. I have different mission. I wrote some of my Mission Impossibles down. Finding my wife a present for her birthday. That she likes, right? Do you know that I once bought her a vacuum for her birthday? Going to Costco for just a chicken and leaving with just a chicken. Not throwing my back out, and not from lifting weights, but from sneezing, right? Like these are my Mission Impossibles. I have a friend, Jeff Duro, he was a humor columnist. And I said, hey, Jeff, what are some Mission Impossibles that you face? And in fact, he's listening, boys. How you doing, boys? He's got a son, Matt. He's got a son, Jackson, who's named after me. What's up, Jackson? Hope you guys are enjoying this message. And I asked him, what are some Mission Impossibles? And he just kept going, man. And I'd have to end the service if I read them all. But let me read you a few of them. Just every man, Mission Impossible, see if you can relate to any of these. Getting the plumber to actually arrive between the given window of noon and 4. Any NBA player, anybody like the NBA? Any NBA player getting fouled without twirling his finger asking for an official review, right? Getting your 5th grader to find 2 socks and 2 shoes. Who's got a 5th grader? You know how true that is. Creating a minimum of a 7-character password you can remember that it contains an uppercase letter, a lowercase letter, and a symbol. Who's in? That's impossible. When I absolutely need one, finding a toothpick, tweezers, or a AAA battery. Logging into Facebook without seeing 12 posts from that one high school friend who started her own skincare business. Meeting anyone from Ireland or Australia and not imitating their accent a millisecond after they're out of sight. Okay, how many have done this? Okay, when the gate agent says, enjoy your trip, not reflexively saying, you too. Okay, this last one seemed appropriate. Tom Cruise acting in an entire 120-minute movie without a plot device that requires him to run somewhere else at top speed, which given his current age, he's 62, my age, which given his current age is slightly faster than an ice cream truck. Look, our Mission Impossibles are different. But I'm guessing that today you walked in with something. Today you walked in with some relationship, and maybe you don't think it's completely impossible, But boy, you've been pouring into this thing for a long time. It just doesn't seem like it's going to rally. I know, I've been to this church for a while, and I know that there are people here who are battling some health issues. And they might not go away. And it just feels impossible. Or maybe there's a depression that comes over you. And maybe it's not all the time. But man, when it hits, it just feels like so much. Is it possible that you feel like you're facing an impossible mission right now? Let me tell you something. The book is filled with people who face impossible missions. Today we're going to look into the life of a guy named Isaiah. And when we look at what God gave him on the tape before it self-destructed in the next 10 seconds, is crazy ridiculous. But I'm hoping that as we look into this impossible mission that Isaiah went through, that we're going to notice some things that can help us in our impossible mission. So tell you what, why don't we start like this? Why don't you bow your head? Maybe you have an impossible mission, maybe you don't. My guess is when you walked in, you thought, this is the toughie in my life right now. This is what's hard. Maybe as you're praying, just say that. You can say it out loud, you can just say it in your mind. This is it. This is the thing, God. And then maybe you want to just come before God and say, God, give me wisdom. Somehow speak to me in my impossible mission in ways that I wouldn't even thought of. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would be in this room, that we would connect with you. God, I also pray that my friends would realize it's not just here. You're always with them. And I pray, God, that you would give us wisdom on how you're with us in our impossible mission. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning, as we look into the life of Isaiah, I want us to look at three different attitude shifts that I think that we need to make to go through our impossible mission. And the first one is this: just because you're a Christian does not assure that everything that you do will succeed. That feels very obvious, but Isaiah makes it super clear. This was the mission that Isaiah was given. At the time that he lived, Israel was running, fleeing away from God as quickly as he could. God wanted Isaiah to be the prophet to a people who did not want a prophet. And this is how it starts in Isaiah chapter 6. If you have a Bible, you can open it up to Isaiah 6, or the verses will come up on the screen. And it starts like this. This is Isaiah. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And without hesitation, he says, here am I, send me. Now that's what I notice in all the Mission Impossible movies. They have this attitude that they're just going to dive in. Whatever it is, we're going to do it. They're all going to do it together. And this is Isaiah's attitude. Here am I, send me, let's go for it. This thing's going to be great. Now, when God speaks that clearly, because I know that there are people in this room that you go, God, if you would just tell me, I would happily do whatever it is you ask me to do. And sometimes there's confusion about what we want to do, but or what we should do. But you think, well, if it was just this obvious, then it'd be great, right? Anybody ever feel that way? Like if God says, okay, who shall I send? I'm in. Then you're going to be like minister to Maui, right? You're going to be a chaplain in Cozumel, pastor to Puerto Rico. Something great, something easy. And I just got to tell you, just because you're all in, just because you say yes, does not mean that that thing is going to be easy or even fun. Let's keep reading. Verse 9. Okay. Here am I, send me. God said, go and tell this people, here's the message, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving, make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, close their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. How's that for a message? Go to these people and tell them, hey, be ever hearing but never understanding. Sounds like he's sending them to teach high school chemistry, right? What the heck? This doesn't sound enjoyable to me. Why would God call anybody to do this? Well, like I told you, Israel is literally fleeing from God. They're worshiping other idols. What he was mostly angry about the leadership of Israel is that they were neglecting justice, that the poor among them were not being taken care of. And let me tell you something right now. If you want to make God angry, don't care about widows, don't care about orphans, don't care about poor people. And God will get in your face. And that's what was happening. That's what Isaiah's call was to do. Sounds like a great life assignment, right? It gets worse. Let's keep reading. Isaiah 6:11. Isaiah says this, "Then I said, for how long, Lord?" Now I'm going to give you God's response, which is not great. But before we do that, I want to ask you this question. Have you been in a situation? Are you in a situation where you are saying this? For how long, Lord? How long do I need to hang with this kid who doesn't want anything to do with me? How long will I face this depression? How long will I have to walk with this person with mental illness? How long will I feel distant from my wife? How long will my pain persist? How long will I struggle with this trauma? How long will I be single? How long will I hate my job? Something you might be asking right now. How long is this message? Here's God's answer. And he answered, okay, how long? Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. Dun, 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 dun. Boy, that sounds like a great assignment. Somehow, in our American way of thinking, we think if we just do what God wants, it's going to be easy. It's going to be for our benefit. And you know what? That's true, and it isn't true. All right? I believe that if you find out that thing and you say yes to what it is that God's calling you to, your marriage, your children, a ministry to the homeless people, traveling to Uganda. If you do those things, here's what you're going to get. You will find peace and purpose in ways that you never thought possible. Like, peace and purpose doesn't mean sitting at home binge-watching Netflix. Peace and purpose means that you do the difficult and you realize that God's faithful in the difficult. And so the next difficult isn't as difficult. You will get peace and purpose. You will grow if you face that impossible journey, that impossible task. And I promise you, you'll have deeper character. So yeah, it'll go better for you, I think. In the long run, you're going to be a much better person. You're going to be much more usable. God's going to do so many amazing, he's going to put you on the front row to do great things. I believe that, without question. But I also tell you that Christians still get served divorce papers. It happens. And Christians still get sick, and Christians still fall and break their ankle and have a hard time recovering. And Christians still have difficult time with their kids. It happens. I hate that it happens, but it happens. Why does it happen? Well, this is just me, but I have to admit that the things that I've learned that have been the most valuable, that when I'm sitting across somebody with a cup of coffee in my hand and we're sharing life, the deepest lessons come from the most difficult things that I have walked through. So, years ago, we had an issue with our garage door. My daughter pressed the go down button, and the little sensor that goes across wasn't working, and there was a beach chair in the way of the door. So the garage door came down. Now, you'll be happy to know, the $10 beach chair was fine. The $1,000 garage door, however, crunched around it. So I had to call the garage door guy. I can do most things, but I knew I could not do this. So I had to call the garage door guy, and he came out. And as soon as I put my garage door up, I instantly was his buddy, because at that point I had a 1973 Plymouth Satellite that he fell in love with. And so I knew I was going to get the car guy discount. And then I told him, I'm going to up the ante, see if I really get a good discount. I told him I was a pastor. And he says this, oh, wish you hadn't told me that. I don't like Christians. Oh, really? Why don't you like Christians? Well, because most Christians only came to God because they had something difficult happen in their life. And I thought about that for a second. And then I said this, yeah, that's true. But the only reason anybody ever calls a garage door repairman guy is because their garage door broke. Now, I thought that was a really great comeback, don't you think? Now, that's not always the reason why people run to Jesus. But I tell you what, it's probably at the center of a lot of our stories. And when that difficult happens, when that impossible thing happens, we have to run back to Him and learn a lesson in the way we never would have learned it before. And the Bible is filled with people like that. Job lost everything. Jeremiah was another prophet during this time, and he was a pastor for 40 years without a convert. The early Christians followed Jesus, and a lot of them lost their lives. This is reality. That God gives us mission impossibles in our life, but I also know that they're going to grow us. This is how we come out stronger. I love this. I think this is from The Message, James chapter 1, 2 and 4. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. I don't know if I could do that, but let me read it again. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges. I think I have a different version. Maybe we change that for second service. Just listen to my words. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open. It shows its true colors, so don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you'll become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. John Ortberg put it like this, God is not nearly as concerned with where his people are going as who they'll be when they get there. Right? Okay, let me give you a second attitude shift we need to make. When life gives you an impossible mission, you have to learn to wait it out. Now, waiting is not something that we love. Let me read you a story. A woman stalls in traffic. She looks in vain under the hood to identify the cause, while the driver behind her leans relentlessly on his horn. Finally, she's had enough. She walks back to his car and offers sweetly, "I don't know what's wrong with my car, but if you want to go look under the hood, I'd be glad to stay here and honk for you." Waiting is just not something we do, right? By show of hands, who loves the DMV? I mean, it's just in traffic, what have you. Isaiah would learn in his impossible mission the value of waiting. If you read throughout the book of Isaiah, you see time and time again that Isaiah has learned something in the wait. Isaiah 30, verse 18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. It's His heart's desire to be gracious to you. If you feel lost and separated and like He doesn't care, that's not true. He longs to be gracious to you. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are all those who wait for Him. You get blessing, You get compassion. You get graciousness. What do you got to do? You got to wait. Isaiah 64:4, for since the world began, no ears heard, no eyes seen, a God like you who works for those who wait for him. Here's something I'm having to learn. That is that when I'm going through my impossible mission, that behind the scenes, God is working. I can't even see it. But behind the scenes, he's working. But it takes my waiting. I'm waiting, he's working. You guys know this. A lot of this very popular verse in Isaiah. Maybe the most popular verse in Isaiah. Those that wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Okay. Ornithologists are people that study what? Birds. Thank you. Ornithologists will tell you that there are three ways that a bird can fly. And the first is flapping. Flapping is the bird has to flap. And for every flap, that's what keeps them flying. Do you know that a hummingbird flaps 70 times a second? Flapping works. Flapping gets a bird in the air. Flapping is great. Flapping is a lot of work. The second is gliding. And the way gliding works is it's some flapping so they get high enough and then they can glide. Still, it's better than flapping, but it still takes a lot of work. But there is a third way that birds fly, and that's called soaring. And there are very few amount of birds that have wings strong enough. The eagle would be one of them. The eagle has such strong wings that it can put them out and catch rising air currents just to keep itself up in the air. Eagles have been clocked at 80 miles an hour without moving. That's what I want. I want to soar. I want to have the kind of faith that I can put my wings out and I know God's going to be the air current underneath me. That even when I can't see it, like what's that next step, that I can still take it, not knowing where I'm going to go. But I'll be honest with you, there are a lot of times I'm a flapper. Money problems. Work problems. Church issues with people like you. Flap, 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 flap. And I'm flapping through life, right? Listen, those that wait, that trust, not in themselves, not in their circumstances, not in what they see, that's faith. Faith is trusting what you can't see. Those that wait on the Lord will soar on wings like eagles. Let's stop flapping. Okay, I got one more. When life gives you an impossible mission, don't assume God's forgotten about you. It's easy. That's easy, right? I feel like you know this. Like this is the easy test right here. Like you know that God's with you, but boy, it's easy to forget. Isaiah 40, verse 27. This is in one of Isaiah's messages. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Why do you say that? He's preaching to this whole country. They're called people of Jacob, people of Israel. Why? Why do you think God has forgotten about you? Then in chapter 49, verse 15, he gives this answer. Different message, but a good answer. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? At 12:30, I'm going to go see a baby. How old is this baby? Megan and Jacob's baby, 17 days? I still honestly believe my grandbaby is cuter, but I think there's probably going to be some dispute. Can a mother forget her baby? No. Father can. Dad can totally. When we had our first child, about, I think it was like 17, it was pretty young. So I was holding my baby boy, just loving him so much, watching golf, just relaxed as can be. Well, what happened? Guys, what happens when you watch golf? Nap time. I fell asleep and I woke up and like, I didn't know where he was. This baby right here. And I was laying like this and he had slid all the way down to my ankles. Dad can forget a baby, mom cannot. Listen, let these words sink in. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born, though she may forget? I will not forget you. Some of you had mothers that forgot about you. But God says, look, I will not. No matter how bad it gets at work, I will not forget. No matter how difficult it is at school, I will not forget. No matter how bullied you are, I will not forget you. No matter what your ex says about you, I will not forget. No matter what your financial crisis is, I will not forget you. Ever. Ever. Whatever your mission impossible, I wish I could reach into your life and take you out of that mission impossible right now. But if I did that, I would be taking you out of a growth experience, and I would be taking you out of the single place where you can learn better than any that God will never forget you, and that your life is not dependent on everything working out. Listen, if your life is dependent on everything working out for you to be happy, let me tell you how often you will be happy. Never. Because just about the time you're happy, your money will go south, or somebody will get mad at you, or work will go bad, or your team will lose in the NBA championship. Something will happen to you. It will mess you up. But when you go through a mission impossible and you realize that all you need is this one relationship with this God to be okay. It doesn't matter what that critic says. It doesn't matter what your bank statement says. It doesn't matter if these people at that job think you're not worthy of a promotion. He says, I will never, ever, ever forget you. And in the middle, if you can get to that spot in your mission impossible, then you have growth and depth and you can go through anything. Because you know that one fact. So let's close like this. Why don't you bow your head? Maybe you just want to pray something simple like this right now. God, this is my mission impossible, and I'm running back to you. Like Tom Cruise, I am running back to you as fast as I can. Maybe if you're really bold, you want to pray something like this. God, don't take me out of this until I've learned the things that I need to learn, that you'll always be with me, that you love me and value me no matter what, that you will deepen me. Now let me pray this for you. Lord Jesus, you said that if we wait, you'd be gracious, you'd be compassionate, you won't forget us. I pray, God, for my friends that are walking through Mission Impossibles, that you would lift the burden off of them. That we would patiently wait, we would come before you, but that you would lift the burden off. I want these people to soar. To stop flapping and soar. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for meeting us here. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.